Joyful Blessings. This is Kaylin Castile with a look at the last week of August 2015, week four. And as I mentioned at the end of week three, the moon, the night of the 23rd, will be visible above Antares. The night of the 24th will be visible above the tail of the scorpion, way above the tail of the scorpion. And then by the night of the 25th, we'll be beyond the Archer, which, of course, in the star map that I shared with you all, looks like a teapot. But I really like the imagery of it as an archer, even though the teapot is also can be seen of as a sacred ceremonial process in some cultures. But, you know, the idea that the archer is actually pointing towards galactic center, where the tip of the arrow of the archer, the tip of the teapot, I guess is how we would say this now, maybe pouring its essence into the center of the galaxy. And on the night of the 24th, the moon is right above the that point, right above where the galactic center is. So something worth tuning into and looking at. So on the 23rd, the sun is entering Virgo and is exactly with Regulus. The thing that's really important about this is that in many traditions, the sun is seen as a doorway to the mysteries. It's shining the light. It's the illuminator, illuminating the light. And if we think about the heart star of the lion and the sun with this heart star of the lion, it's illuminating this heart star. And I think I wrote in the timings of something about the alchemical flame within the heart, within our hearts, within the hearts of who we are. So how are we activating that alchemical flame? How is the sun helping us to activate that more fully? Are you keeping your self-love list? Are you practicing it every day? Are you practicing, noticing, and appreciating and having gratitude for the ways that you can love yourself? Who you are, what you do, how you show up, your love and intention. And anybody who is connected with the celestial timings is somebody, you are somebody who is here to help bring these intentions. You know, one of the things I've known for many years is that as I'm writing the celestial timings, what I'm writing are intention statements, how these mysteries can be seen. There could be a lot of different ways to tune into this. So I'm doing it from the perspective of what's the intention. And whenever we set an intention, anything in the way of that intention comes up to get cleared. It's got to be cleared out of the way. So intentions can sometimes create a lot of chaos in our life because we have a lot of stuff that needs to get cleared. But when we can get to that place of appreciation for who we are, gratitude for who we are, for our journey, for everything that's ever happened to us that has brought us to where we are now, that allows us to be who we are and to be growing into who we are meant to be. What's our soul's intent? Why are we here? What are the personal patterns that have defined us up to this point? And now that we can love those patterns, those limiting patterns, and release them or transform them so that they're not holding us back, and that we can come from that place of really understanding more of who we are, and that how all of these experiences have been an essential part of our journey. And so it's not that we're trying to get rid of, or that we're judging against, or any of that, but it's like, how do we alchemically change anything that is less than the divine essence of who we are? How do we alchemically transform that into its divine essence? I don't know what the answers are to that, but I know that's the question that I live with all the time. And it's a great question, and sometimes I feel more aligned with that than other times. Anyways, we can't see Regulus, but if you're knowing where the sun is in the sky, then you know that that's where Regulus is. And as the sun is passing through Virgo with Jupiter, Jupiter's in the underworld until September, until early, so the first or second week of September, then we're knowing that when we see the sun, we're connecting with Regulus and with Jupiter. And that the, this is the place, again, as we've talked about, tuning into the pattern of life, the timing. Timing is a pattern. There's a pattern that is connected to this reality. that has to do with the cyclical. It's like sacred time. You know, the cycles repeating themselves, coming back to these sacred timings and working with them in a conscious way. And then, as I mentioned, on August 24th, the moon is entering Capricorn, crossing the galactic cross that's near galactic center. So the galactic cross is actually, the intersection of the galactic cross is right above galactic center in this part of the sky. And this is the energy that we've been talking about, the grandmothers, the wise ones, the elders, the grandfathers, the ones who know what it is that we need to be doing in order to have a sustainable reality. How can we get more organized? How can we be more efficient? How can we be more effective at what we're doing? And how can we do it in ways that are sustainable, not only for ourselves now, but for the planet and the generations to come? So that's something to tune into. On August 25th, the moon will be passing Pluto, so that's going to help bring up those deeper shadow issues that are still in the way of us living in a more sustainable way of being. And then on August 26th, the sun is conjunct Jupiter exact at 3 degrees Virgo, still very close to Regulus, and so illuminating these mysteries. Now, I will mention here that Daniel Tamario and I did a teleclass on the Jupiter and Virgo. We did that back in July, actually, last month, and it's really looking at what does it mean, Jupiter passing through Virgo? How can we work with that? And also connecting it back to the last time Jupiter was in Virgo, there was Uranus-Pluto conjunction in 1967 and 68. Now we have the Uranus-Pluto square that is completing, but anyway, there's a connection with Jupiter coming back through here to activate those things that were set into motion back then. And it was also the time of the Venus, a new Venus cycle that started. Jupiter went into Virgo in 1967, and the new Venus cycle was beginning at that particular time. So it's a powerful time to be tuning into this sort of recapitulation of what's going on then, but also what are we bringing into form now? How are we working with, what's our understanding? How have we evolved our understanding from that time to this time, which has been tremendous, very powerful, and you know, to work with this consciously over the next year, to really tap into Jupiter and Virgo and the impact that it can have. There's also Neptune and Saturn are involved with this particular Jupiter cycle, and we talked all about that. What does that mean? How do we work with it? Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, there's a link in the written version of the timings if you're interested in that teleclass. It was pretty phenomenal. We've had a lot of great feedback about it. On August 27th, the moon is entering Libra and will be in Libra until November 1st because it's going retrograde in September. On September 17th. So it's going to be in Libra for a long time. And as we've already talked about, this has a lot to do with how we have that sovereign, whole, complete relationship within ourself, and then how do we engage that in conscious, equal partnership with others. And so that theme is going to be powerfully activated over these next many weeks with Mercury, the messenger, bringing us additional messages about that. And on August 28th, Mercury will conjunct the North Node in Libra, and the North Node is almost at the zero Libra point. It's at one Libra. And this has to do with a destination point for humanity, and it connects into the time gates, again, coming back to that time point and time wave zero. I mean, think about coming to the zero Libra point, that balance point, and the possibility of the convergence of the timelines into a nexus or into a singularity. So something to contemplate as we move forward, and what does that mean? And I, of course, again, shared a little bit about the Star Trek movie that was working with timelines and to avert that disaster that future disaster. Dr. Spock comes back through time to present-day Spock, and they alter the timeline for a happier ending, which is, I think, really, you know, if we think of things as a mirror to what's happening, that movie is really speaking to what we're doing now. We're really, if we're here and conscious and present, and we can create a timeline that is going to be about the fulfillment of the humanity's potential and not the destruction, which is, seems like we're on the path of destruction, but I think we're here to really change that. So working with these ideas of time and you know, still connecting into that. We do also have the Pisces full moon on August 29th, and that connects us to the experience of time that is not linear or logical. It's more from a celestial perspective, where everything exists simultaneously, or a place of non-time, where we're not experiencing the passing of time, but that place where we can go into non-time. So that Pisces full moon will be really powerful for tuning into that and connecting into the place where we can dream into new ways of experiencing our reality. And then as we come to the end of the month, we're going to have the Sun opposite Neptune. Neptune is retrograde, and whenever an outer planet is retrograde, it will reach opposition to the Sun. So that means that there's Neptune, the Earth, and on the other side of the Earth is the Sun, and so Neptune is closest to the Earth in our journey around the Sun at this particular time, and so the transmission coming from Neptune is amplified and also illuminated by the Sun from our perspective. And then the final piece, and this is very exciting, is that Venus and Mars will be coming together on August 31st. Their exact conjunction, they're actually within 10 degrees from July 25th to November 24th. So a long dance. But they become visible in the morning sky together after Venus rises up on August 22nd. So we're not necessarily seeing them together within 10 degrees until that time. And we will see them together in the morning sky on August 31st if you're up early and you have clear skies. And this is really representing a sacred union, a sacred marriage between the sacred feminine and the sacred masculine, or the divine feminine and the divine masculine, or the feminine and the masculine. Because, I mean, it represents us. It represents our connection to these mysteries. And how are they coming together to be sovereign beings and also willing to engage in conscious relationship? How to realize that they can accomplish so much more together, that their different skills and abilities, the different skills of the masculine, the different skills of the feminine come together. And we can think about this from the most basic biological point of view, and that is when a man and a woman come together in sacred union and love, they produce a child. They can produce a child, but a woman can't do it. Well, we do now have the technology to do it without men, I suppose, but we need both, actually. Ideally, both are present in order to have the healthy sacred union and the healthy offspring that comes from that. So it's not necessarily literal children. It can be ideas, projects, things that are brought into motion, but bringing that masculine, feminine energy together to work together from the place of sovereignty, and also honoring equally the gifts that each brings to that union that produces some kind of offspring, whatever that might be. Anyway, so that's happening, and they'll come together exactly again, I think, in early November. If you're interested, and this is something that speaks to you, there is going to be the Inner Sacred Marriage and Relationship Intensive October 7th through 11th near Tucson, Arizona, that Daniel and I are facilitating. And this event has not been offered in a couple of years. It's very powerful information, and it's only taught in shamanic astrology. This is not this is not just about relationship, like, oh, should I be with this person or not by looking at charts. It's really speaking to the inner sacred marriage. How do you connect with your inner beloved? Whether that, if you're a woman, it's your inner sacred masculine. If you're a man, it's your inner sacred feminine. And this goes across, how do I want to say this? Whether you're heterosexual, bisexual, or homosexual, it does not matter. You're still connecting with the inner beloved, the inner sacred feminine or inner sacred masculine. There is an intention around that. We all have masculine and feminine energy, and so there's ways that we can understand this by looking at the chart and looking at where Venus and Mars are, where the descendant is, other factors on the chart that we can look at. And this is one of the crown jewels of shamanic astrology. One of the gifts of shamanic astrology is to understand that. And when we understand what the inner sacred marriage is, then we can have relationships with other people. And we can understand relationship intent. So what is your intent for relationship? Some people are here to actually have a monogamous, committed marriage-type relationship, or, you know, long-term committed relationship with a beloved, one beloved other. Some people are here experiencing serial monogamy, and some people are here to be polyamorous. It's not, you know, we don't make a judgment about how people should or shouldn't do relationship, but what is the bottom line intention for relationship for you? Maybe your relationships are more about supporting your sacred work, or maybe your relationships are more about being able to experience ecstasy and life force. So there's lots of different ways that we can approach that question of what is the intention of relationship for you? What is your soul's intent for relationship? And that's what we cover in this class, and it's really exciting material. So there's the link to that the class information that in the written timings. And we'd love to have you come join us. It's going to be in a beautiful place and a great time of year to be in Arizona, in a beautiful Tubac, Arizona, gorgeous facility that we'll be having the event at. So that completes the month, this last week of August 2015.